Thank you, choir.
Man, we're thankful for what God's done for us. If we could, let's get Maddie to sing at the end of the service, Out of Hiding, for our invitation. I want to get into the scripture this morning. Before we do, I want to mention to the church, and most of you may know it, it's been mentioned, but we want to be much in prayer for Brother Tom Payne and his family. As Miss Betty went home to be with the Lord yesterday, about 6 o'clock. And Brother Tom has been really caring for her and taking care of her. And I've had several people comment to me about the way that he cared for her, the way that he loved her. It's a picture, an exemplary of the love that we should have. But let's pray for him. When I was talking to him last night, you know, and this is something that they've been expecting, he said, you know, you try to prepare and you think you're prepared, but the truth is you're never prepared. And I think that's true. So let's be in prayer for him. Excuse me, if you got your Bible, let's go to Mark chapter number 5. All I can do is share with you the things that God has given me, and this is a message that's been on my heart for well over a week. This is what I knew that God would want me to stand on this morning. I want to read in Mark chapter number 5, and our text to start with, we're going to read the first 5 verses. And we'll read some more of the scripture as we get into it, but the thought this morning that I want to share with you is saving the incorrigible. That's a pretty big word. What does that word mean? That word means incapable of being corrected or amended, not deformable, depraved, delinquent, not manageable, uncontrollable, and unalterable. And then I found this definition, which really is the one that stuck in my heart and my mind, which is too hopelessly bad to change. As I heard that and I thought of that, you'll see as we read this scripture in Mark chapter 5, the first 5 verses. It says, and they came over into the other side of the sea and unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, this is speaking of Jesus, it says, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, or broken by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here. God, I certainly, Lord, need your hand this morning. God, we pray you'd open our hearts and our minds to hear what you'd have. And Lord, whatever said would be done for your honor and glory. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if you read this scripture and you see what happened, he came out of the ship and it said there met him a man. If there's ever been one who was incorrigible, it's this man. Too hopelessly bad to change. Now, all of us probably in our hearts and minds have people. It could be a family member, it could be a loved one, it could be someone you've worked with, and you think they're so bad, they can't change. They won't ever change. You know, when you look at this story, and I've said this before about the Word of God, and I think we have to look at the Word of God this way. There's a historical happening, there's a doctrinal teaching, and there's a practical application, which is how we bring it to ourselves. And folks, that's really important. We need to study the Word of God. We need to know what the Word of God says. We need to let it teach us. But we've got to get something from the Word of God that's going to help us. I don't know about you, but I need something from God's Word that's going to help me. It's going to help me make it through the week. It's going to help me deal with all the stresses and the pressures of life and all the things that come against us every day. Now, when I look at this scripture, here's the first thing that I want you to understand. This is a true story. This is not a parable. A parable is I've heard it said, it's a heavenly story with an earthly meaning or something along those lines. But this happened. This guy was in this shape. And here's what, as I begin to think about it, that I want you to understand. This man certainly was somebody's son. Somewhere, perhaps, there was a mother that had cried until she didn't think she could cry anymore. She had sought God and she had prayed for her son on just saying, God, you got to do something. I've heard it said that a mother is never happier than her least happy child. I think that's true of a dad. You know, sometimes I'm amazed when I'm in church and I've worked with people, you know, after a couple of years, and it's kind of been this way here. I don't know everybody's story. But sometimes people, after a while, they begin to share. You know why? Because maybe they think, maybe you really care. They don't know to start with. And you find out that they come to church every Sunday and they come in bearing a burden that is so heavy that when you hear about it, you wonder how they walk with it. When they've been serving God and walking with God and trying to do the things of God, and you find out that their son or their daughter or one of their loved ones, they ain't heard from them in 6 months. They don't know where they're at. See, this man's somebody's son. And I believe also he's probably somebody's husband. See, when I look at this story and I see him over here in this condition, somewhere in the livable part of town, there's probably a mother. And that mother could very possibly have two or three little old kids running around, and there's no daddy there to care for them. There's no daddy there to do his part. There's no daddy there to work every day to make sure they've got food on the table, that they've got clothes on their backs, and mama is doing all she can possibly do to care for them, to serve them. In the meantime, wondering, where's my husband? Is he still alive? Is he okay? Well, I can't, and here's something, you know, when we had this service here Wednesday night, and Haley Morgan up here, Smith was up here giving a testimony. She said, here's what I deal with in FCA. She said, I've got kids that are going to graduate from high school this year. You know, they're going to graduate. They're going to go to college. It's already settled. When they turn 16, mom and daddy gave them a car. Daddy comes to the events at school. Mom and daddy will be at graduation together. She said, but I got kids that hate those kids. Because they don't know what they're going to do. They don't know where their daddy's at. They might live with grandma and grandpa, whoever will. You know, have you ever heard the term snatched up by the hair of the head? Why is it that way? Because truth is, sometimes that's reality. This man was in this shape. And can I tell you, there's a lot of them out there right now. Now, when we look at the scripture, here's what I want us to see. And the Word of God is true. We have to believe the Word of God. In Mark chapter 5 and verse number 2, it says, there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. And here's what I want you to understand. This man was possessed or indwelt by demons. We're going to get into that a little more and you'll see it. But here's what I want you to understand. Demons lived, not one, but multiple, lived inside of him. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's what the Word of God says. I didn't write it. And by the way, when I preach, folks, I didn't write none of this. I just tell you what the Word of God says. Sometimes we're outside and I've heard people come by and they say, boy, that was a strong message. You know all I can say? I didn't write it. It's His. This man had demons living inside of him. And here's what I want you to understand, how demons get inside of a person. When the Holy Spirit is not inside of you, it's open ground. And what happens in people's lives to cause demons to come into them is they create something that is an opening for the world's evil to come in. What do? When you put things in your body that are not supposed to be there and you're not saved by the grace of God, you're opening a door for anything in the world to come inside of you and just live in you. This man had demons in him. The Holy Spirit did not dwell there. Now, here's something I want you to understand. I'm going to give you a verse out of the book of Luke, chapter 11, and verse number 24. A Christian that is saved by the grace of God cannot be possessed by the devil. Can't. Now, you can be oppressed, and some of you know what I'm talking about. It's when we are starting to do the will of God and the things of God, and it seems like we come to church one Sunday, and boy, we're high, we're on the mountain, people are getting saved. Monday morning comes, and it seems like the devil is in everything. The washing machine quits, the car quits, you get the calls, you get the emails, and the devil says, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that next Sunday it's not like it was last Sunday. That's oppressed. Expect spiritual warfare. But you, if you're saved by the grace of God, the scripture says that the kingdom of God is within us. Now, I'm going to get there. There's some good in this, but it's rough before you get there. Let me read it in Luke chapter 11 in verse 24. It's a deep verse. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh unto himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. You know what that is? That's somebody that comes into church, and they sit in church, and they hear the word of God. They hear the preaching. And here's where they are. They're just like the king of Agrippa when he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And they sit there, and all of a sudden, through the prayers of the saints, the rebuking of the evil spirits, you know what? Those evil spirits have to get out of the way to make room for the Holy Spirit to come in. But they sit there and they say, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to accept God. I can make it on my own. I can do it on my own. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm not going to be that way anymore. And they never accept Jesus Christ into their heart. And they go out thinking they're okay. You know what they do tomorrow? They do more drugs. They drink more alcohol. They do more wickedness. And seven spirits, more wicked than the first, is in them because the Holy Spirit has never been inside of them. Now, that's what the Word of God says. This man had evil in him, okay? Look at verse number 3 in the first part of the verse. He had his dwelling among the tombs. Now, we know and we have had, and I thank God for the ministries of this church. We've got ministries that we're supporting. We talk about FCA. We're involved in Cobb Street Ministries now. We have Celebrate Recovery. We've had a homeless ministry. And, folks, we've all dealt with homeless people. But here's a man that's homeless that lives in a graveyard. You know, some people, they go to a graveyard at night, and I don't know about you, but have you ever gotten to a place that you just felt like evil was present? Maybe you ought to pay attention to that. You know, I'm not afraid much on the spiritual realm because Christ is in me, but I don't play games with it either. That's why if I ever catch my kids playing with a Ouija board, we're going to have a problem. Okay, I tell them, we don't mess with tarot cards, we don't get our palm read, we don't play with Ouija boards, we don't read our horoscope, we open the Word of God and we pray and we ask God what His will is for us in our lives. He lived in the graveyard. He was homeless. Can you imagine that mother? Lord, where is my son tonight? Can you imagine that wife? Where is my dad tonight? Look at the latter part of the third verse and the first part of the fourth verse. It says, no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. They couldn't do anything with him. And here's what I want you to see. This man was possessed with devils. He had supernatural strength. Supernatural strength. Supernatural abilities. Basically, he had the strength of many demons. They said, well, I don't believe that. You ever watch the news? I know a guy who is the shooting instructor for Paulding County, for the police department. I know a guy who is the shooting instructor for Cobb County Police Department. You want to hear some of the stories they tell. When you see them and they say, we hit them with a taser and it didn't faze them. And they tell you things like this: we've had to stop using a 9mm and go to a 45 because we've had deputy sheriffs lose their life after men had been shot 3 times. Why? There's something going on. Now, folks, I know people can get hyped up on drugs, but I'm going to tell you, there's wickedness in this world. There's proof right here in the Word of God. This man was living in the tombs, and they said nobody could do anything with him. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a little bit of personal experience with this, and I don't like it. When you get somebody that's out of control and you're trying to help them and you can't do nothing with them and you're trying to hold them down, keep them from hurting themselves, keep them from hurting you, and really what you're trying to do is settle that issue today so that it doesn't have lasting consequences in their lives or yours. But it said they couldn't do nothing with him. The latter part of the verse says they could not tame him. That means that they could not stop him. And I've heard parents say this: we've tried. He's stealing from his own mama and daddy. And when a mom and daddy has to call the police on their own son. Let me tell you, that's a terrible, terrible moment. You know why it's that way? Because the evil that's in you is causing you to be out of control, and you won't even surrender and admit it. No man could tame him. We've done all we can do. Look at the 5th verse. And for me, this is probably the saddest verse that we've read so far. It says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Always, night and day, in turmoil. Now, if you got any kind of softness in your heart at all, when you see your loved ones in that shape, and they ain't even got to be your loved ones, it hurts. See, he's crying. There are people crying right now. I guess the question is, do we hear them? He was cutting himself. You know, sometimes my wife and I have had these conversations, and I mean, I know that men do this, but it seems to be more common with girls, especially young ladies. They call them cutters. It's when they take and they cut themselves. And what it is an outcry for help, because somebody, help me, please help me. But when you go to help them, it's almost like, well, they don't want my help. Yes, they do. They just don't know how to tell you. And this man was in the mountains and then the tombs, and he was crying day and night, and he was cutting himself. You ever see somebody stay up for 3 or 4 nights in a row that's in absolute turmoil, and you do anything you could to take a little bit of the peace that you have and give it to them? That's this man. You see, by the world's standards, here's what I want you to understand, and by the devil's definition, this man was incorrigible. Incorrigible. Too hopelessly bad to change. Now, here's what I want you to understand. We're not done. The devil want somebody to believe that they're incorrigible. He wants them to believe that there can't be any help for them, whatever it is. And now, folks, I want to tell you something. I'm 51 years old. I've never had a problem with drugs. I've never had a problem with alcohol. But I've had things in my life that I've had to beg God to help me get victory. I've had things in my life. The Bible says you have not yet resisted against sin unto blood until you get willing to get on your knees and cry, and you hate your sin more than and want peace with God more than you want that sin. You're going to deal with it from now on. The devil wants you to think you can't get rid of it. See, people have tried to help this man, and he's out here in the tombs. He's crying. He's cut himself. They can't bind him. They can't do nothing with him. And the devil's laughing. And the demons are sneering. See, when 2,000 demons say, we got him, Can I tell you, there's parents right now, right here at this threshold, standing here. There's mom and daddies, there's husbands, there's sons. We just read through verse 5. Okay? Let's read verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now here's something that I want you to understand as we look at the scripture. When he ran and worshiped him, it was the demons running. See, this man, he didn't know Jesus. But what happened is these devils, they do. You see, the devil does not want you to know how much of a liar he is. And the devil does not want you to know what he knows. But it's written right here for us in the Word of God. See, in John chapter 8 and verse 44, in the latter part of the verse, this is Jesus speaking of the devil. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see, when the devil says, you're incorrigible, he's a liar. Amen. You see, because when the demons and the devil saw Jesus, there were things that they just had to do. Look at verse 6 and then verse 7. It says, when they saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Here's something I want you to understand. Have you ever thought about what the devil knows? Have you ever thought about what the demons know? They know who Jesus is. And if you look at this scripture, you see that they knew his name. They knew his name. And then even as they speak in the seventh verse, says, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. They knew who the Father was. They knew who the Most High was. Because if you go over to Isaiah chapter number 14 and you find out about what Lucifer did, and you find out, and you can look at this, and you can find it in verse 15 to 17, and then more of it down in verse 12 to 14, that Satan, Lucifer, wanted to be like the Most High. That name is El Elyon. He was lifted up with pride. But the scripture teaches us that he was cast out of heaven. And when he was cast out of heaven, he took with him a third part of the stars, as it were, he drew with his tail. Those are the demons that followed him. What are they doing today? Running to and fro, trying to devour. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, says that thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now here's some things I want you to understand about the devil. Same thing about the devil in anybody's life. They had to surrender to Jesus' authority. They didn't wrestle with him. They didn't argue with him. They had to surrender. And when they spoke to him and they said, that you torment us not. You can go over to another place and you can find that they said, why comest thou here to persecute us before the time? Well, what time is that? If you go to Isaiah in the 14th chapter and you look at the 15th verse, the scripture says, speaking of Satan, thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms? You see, here's what I want us to understand. Satan knows that he has but a short time. And his window of opportunity is closing. That's why he's going to do everything he can to stop the spread of the gospel. Everything he can. What did Peter say? He said, the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing these same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. See, he knows what his end is going to be. He knows that his time is limited. And they know what is coming to them. You see, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10, says the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. See, that hill down there, wherever it's at, wasn't created for you and me. Amen. It's created for the devil and all his demons. Amen. And they know that their time is coming. And all they could do when they stood in the presence of Jesus was surrender. The demons had to obey. And Jesus sent them out. As he looked at them and they knew they were going to have to obey, they pleaded and they begged and they said, "Would you just let us go over here into these swine?" And there was a herd there of swine, the scripture says about 2,000. And when they cast them out of the man, they went into the swine. The scripture says that these swine, or these pigs, just ran violently down a hill in a crazed state into the water and choked themselves. You see, here's how bad the devil is. The pigs don't even want him in the side of them. That's right, amen. Now, if you understand the rest of this story, the people come out and they see this man. Remember, he was incorrigible. He was beyond help. He was beyond anything that anybody could do. He had been cutting himself and crying day and night. They bound him. They couldn't bind him. He was living in the graveyards. And they said, "What happened to him?" Has anybody ever said, "What happened to you?" And you say, "I met Jesus. Amen. I met a man that changed my life." You see, I believe today that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that helped this Gadarene demoniac, is available to you and I. And people struggle and they fight and it's over and it's over and it's over. And they never just surrendered to Jesus. They kind of like this scripture I said, it's empty, swept empty, but no Jesus. You see, Jesus told him, you know what the man said? "I want to go with you." Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like this. I'm kind of like Paul was. He said, "Lord, I just want to come be with you. I've seen what you've got. Lord, you've let me have a glimpse of it. Lord, I just want to come on to heaven." And the Lord said, "Well, Paul, I got work for you to do. You got to stay down here a while." You know what the Lord told this man? He said, "You got to stay here. You go tell your family, you tell your friends, you tell them what good thing the Lord has done for you." Now, folks, I want to tell you about a testimony. And I had a man tell me this recently. He started into a ministry. He spent multiple years of his life in prison. He's got all kind of things. We're not going to glorify all those things. We're going to let him get up here and tell you what God done to change his life. He said, "God called me back to the prison that he delivered me out of so that I could go there to those people and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." Let me tell you what your testimony is. Tell somebody what God has done for you. This man didn't know all of Scripture. He couldn't quote the Old Testament. He just said, "Go tell them about this healing power." He said, "Go tell them about this grace and this mercy." Now, folks, this is a great story, but this story applies to us. You see, some of us are fighting demons. You see, the demons are either after us or they're after the ones that we love. And I begin to think about it, and you know the Bible talks about all the iniquity and the wickedness in the last days. Men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And talks about how iniquity, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Another place it said men would be inventors of evil things. And I thought about those. What demons are you talking about? How about the demon of meth? So, well, that's not a demon. You ever fought it? If you ever fight it, you'll know it's a demon. How about the demon of alcohol? Never fought that one? How about this one? Because this one's probably killing more people right now than either one of them. How about prescription pain pills? I don't know how we got in this shape in this country. People die every day, because of opiates, because of prescription pain pills. There's a mama right now laying in bed, and her kids are not, should be sitting right over here. But she can't get up. You know, you ever talk to kids, and this breaks my heart, but I've seen this, when the six-year-old is taking care of the two-year-old, and you go try to help them, and you see them taking a chair and climbing up on the cabinet and opening it and getting a cereal box out because mama's laid up in the bed on drugs. That's a demon. And if we're going to get deliverance, we're going to get it through Jesus Christ. And until we surrender, we'll never have it. And then heroin. I remember when I was a kid, you had to be rich to get that stuff. Now it's cheaper than dope. You get it everywhere. And because of the same substance in background, the people that can't get their hands on the opiates, they're going after the heroin, and people are becoming drug addicts, and homes are breaking up, and families are in crisis, and daddies are crying and cutting themselves in the tombs. No dad in the home. And then you got all the light drugs. Oh, it don't matter. I never understood how anybody could take some of the things they do and make drugs out of it. And I go buy stuff at the store, and they want to see my ID. I said, look at my head.
Yeah, amen. That's right. That's right.
I bought some spray paint to spray my car for the Awana race. And they said, well, we got to check you on this type. You go buy Sudafed, or whatever it is. Well, I don't have a problem with no drugs. What about pornography? Killing people. That's a demon, is what that is. It's destroying homes. I tell you, you know, sometimes I hear people talk about things that they've went through and it hurts me. What if it's your kid? I'm the preacher, yes, and I'm supposed to do what's right, but I'm just a man. I think about what I'd do if that was my son in those tombs and it happened because somebody gave him something that he should not have had. I want to tell you something. It would take the Holy Spirit binding me and pulling me back. What about anger? Well, I don't have a problem with no drugs. Folks, I've known people in this church, working in this church, serving God, have a problem with anger. They can't come back. You know why they can't come back? Because he blacked both his wife's eyes, and they'll never be able to stand in front of you again. Well, that's not a demon. Oh, yes, it is. That might be a generational curse. It's passed down from generation to generation because you saw grandpa beat daddy and daddy beat mama and you come up. And this is why people go from one relationship to another that's bad and never can get out of it. Might be a demon. And then murder. How can somebody take somebody else's life but they do? Fear? Yeah. The devil wants you to have fear. Then what about this one? I don't think anybody here hasn't dealt with this. What about depression? Now, I don't know about you, but I tell you what, I've had some rough times this week. I got to think about Elijah being over there under that juniper tree. After he had just won a great battle and all the prophets of Baal were slain, and after the fire from heaven came down and God's power was so enormous amongst the people, one woman that was not right with God said, tomorrow I'm going to have you. And he ran and laid down under a juniper tree and he said, oh, that I wish that I could just die. And then loneliness. You know, people come to church every Sunday and they don't open up. They sit amongst you, they sit beside you. But how many people go through life without ever really feeling like they have a real friend? See, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're never alone, ever. But the Bible does teach us that two are better than one. That's why we want to come together and love one another and comfort one another and help one another. That's why fellowship is such an important part of church. And here's what I want you to understand. There's nothing in your life that's incorrigible. We're going to have to ask for a song. Ask them to go ahead and get it ready. We are not incorrigible. Let's tell the devil. We are not incorrigible. Amen. We have the help of Jesus Christ. He can help us no matter what we face. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, the latter part of the verse, it says this: with men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. As Maddie comes, if you would come on and get ready to sing, Maddie, I want to give you two verses. Altars of this church are always open, but they're especially open right now because, you know what? I needed this. I don't know about you. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, number 4 says this: the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then this one: the devil don't want you to have this verse. He don't want you to have this, but you claim it in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what? Let's say it. We will not quit. We will not surrender. We will stand for truth. We will pray. We will walk in unity. And we will bear one another's burdens. Would you stand to your feet? If God spoke to you and you'd like to pray, we'd love to pray with you. Love to pray with you right now if there's anything on your heart.
you know, something we ought to do. Is everything good at your house?